Gospel Music Heritage Month. Welcome to the Documenting the American South Highlights podcast. Doc South is a digital publishing initiative sponsored by the University Library at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. In June 2008, Congress recognized September as Gospel Music Heritage Month, observing in its legislation that the message, rhythms, and melodies of gospel music, quote, can be traced to multiple and diverse influences and foundations, including African-American spirituals, end quote. Documenting the American South commemorates this celebration of American art by examining the musical tradition from which gospel greats like Thomas A. Dorsey and Mahalia Jackson emerged. Music served a variety of functions in the antebellum African-American community. Slaves frequently sang to communicate in code when their overseers and masters were listening. When Harriet Tubman wished to inform her fellow slaves that she planned to escape to the North, she could not speak plainly because her master was present, so she sang, "I'm bound for the Promised Land, on the other side of Jordan." Singing also served as a medium for the preservation of African culture. The enslaved great-grandmother of W.E.B. Du Bois sang the African song, "Dobana Koba, Geneme Geneme," to her children, and her descendants preserved the song until Du Bois published it in The Souls of Black Folk in 1901. Du Bois finds echoes of that, quote, primitive African music, end quote, in later songs, and traces a gradual development from African chants to African-American spirituals in the songs You May Bury Me in the East, March On, and Steal Away. Quote, "The first is African music, the second Afro-American, the third is a blending of Negro music with the music heard in the Foster Land," end quote. On the plantation, work songs, the ring shout, and African rhythms were infused into the more staid Protestant hymnody of Isaac Watts, creating spirituals, a new genre of music that conflated European and African traditions to produce a uniquely American art form. In 1801, Richard Allen published the first known instances of musical worship that specifically recounted the experiences of African-American persecution. Allen published his hymnal for the Bethel Congregation of African-American Methodists that later became the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and included several hymns of his own composition, including "The God of Bethel Heard Her Cries" and "Ye Ministers That Are Called to Preaching." Writing about the difficulties his own church had encountered, Allen thanked God that when, quote, "Bethel was surrounded by her foes, he saved them in the trying hour. Ministers and councils joined, and all stood ready to retain that helpless church of thine," end quote. Most African-American spirituals describe the persecution of slaves, not churches, but Allen's hymns set a precedent for the songs of worship that moved from churches to plantation in the early 19th century. William Francis Allen published his collection of slave songs of the United States in 1867, hoping to preserve, quote, "genuine slave songs and the creative power from which they sprung," end quote, which the public had well nigh forgotten after the Civil War. Allen takes great pains to emphasize the fact that these spirituals are the product of two distinct cultures. The songs have, quote, "the mode and spirit of European music, but retain a distinct image of their native Africa," end quote. For each song, Allen provides a melodic line and lyrics. There are no other parts, because Allen had never observed slaves singing in harmony. Instead, the lead singer would start, quote, "the words of each verse, often improvising, and the others, who base him, as it is called, strike in with the refrain, or even join in the solo when the words are familiar," end quote. Frequently, these hymns were made up as the singer went along, an improvisational style that was later popularized in jazz and blues music. Allen's collection includes gospel tunes still popular today, such as "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Had," but some of his selections, such as "I and Satan Had a Race," are more obscure. 7 years after Allen's collection first appeared, Mary Frances Armstrong and Helen Ludlow published Hampton and Its Students, A History of the Hampton Institute, a secondary school serving the African-American community. That volume included 50 cabin and plantation songs, arranged by Thomas Fenner, who ran the school's music department. In contrast to Allen, who only preserved the lyrics and melodic lines of slave songs, Fenner added harmony to many of his selections. Fenner understood that sheet music could not capture the essence of a slave song, quote, "in its absolute rude simplicity, because the song's effectiveness in its home depends upon accompaniments, which can be carried away only in memory, end quote. He goes on to say, the swaying of the body, the rhythmical stamping of the feet, and all the wild enthusiasm of the Negro camp meeting, these evidently cannot be transported, end quote, or duplicated in sheet music. Unable to render the melodies in their original form, Fenner adapted them, converting melodic lines into four-part harmonies and hoping to make, quote, more than has ever yet been made out of this slave music, end quote. By the end of the 19th century, the slave songs, an African-American musical tradition that Allen, Fenner, and White introduced to popular culture, had become thoroughly integrated via periodicals such as The Musical Million, which had more than 10,000 subscribers, and songbooks like The Temple Star, which sold more than 500,000 copies. In the 2 centuries since Richard Allen published his first collection of hymns, the definition of gospel music has grown to include a variety of musical and religious traditions. But most listeners of gospel music still recognize the genre's debt to African-American slaves, for whom music was a form of escape from the cruel realities of slavery. For links to the works and collections mentioned, and for other titles of interest, visit this highlight on the web at dogsouth.unc.edu/highlights/gospel.html. For the most recent highlight and a link to the highlights archive, visit dogsouth.unc.edu and click on the Highlights link. Thank you for listening to the Documenting the American South Highlights podcast.